So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to conclude our series on, we've been talking about, does anybody remember, please remember, 3 weeks talking about biblical community, okay? Biblical community. And the big idea, if you haven't been able to be with us in this journey, is that you and I weren't created to live in isolation, okay? How many people know it's easy at times to want to live in isolation? Is anybody with me? There's times where, oh, Lord, I just want to be alone. I don't want to be with other people. And actually, that's the time where I need other people more than ever before. Because there's times where I could want to be in a pity party, want to just say, God, I'll just go off and live life by myself. But that's not how God made us. He didn't make us to be in isolation. But God created us to live in community, biblical community with other believers. So if you're a believer, part of God's desire for your life is that you're not out just trying to do it alone, but you're involved with other believers in what we call this journey of faith. That's what the whole idea behind this series is. Let me show the next picture. Doesn't that look like a lot of fun? Doesn't that look like a lot of fun, okay? And really, that's what biblical community is supposed to be about. All people, all races, just living this thing out together. I mean, we're in this together. We're trying to follow Jesus. That's what it's all about. And man, I'm not supposed to try to follow Jesus alone. I want other people to come alongside me, be a part of this thing. Let's laugh together. Let's cry together. Let's rejoice together. Let's weep together. Let's just all do it together, okay? That's what it's supposed to be. You can keep that. Well, you can't because we got a verse we got to read. This is our theme verse for the whole series. These words were written by the wisest person to ever live. His name is Solomon. The Bible says that about Solomon. Listen to what he said. He said, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in what kind of trouble? Everybody say it. Real trouble. Real trouble, okay? A person standing alone can be attacked, can be defeated, but two people can stand back to back. And what can they do? Everybody say the word together. Conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So basically, these verses are making it very clear, and we've read them now. This is the fourth week where we've read these verses. And the whole message of the verse is it's very clear that when we live life alone in isolation, negative things can happen. When we say, well, I'm just going to do it by myself, negative things can happen. These verses say we can be attacked. These verses say we can be defeated. That would most certainly include physically. That would include emotionally. But more importantly, I think above everything else, it would mean spiritually. When we're trying to do all these things alone, we could be attacked. We can be defeated. I really believe the enemy loves for us to throw pity parties and try to do, when we get down, that we just want to be alone, because I think that we're very vulnerable. We're very, very vulnerable when we're alone, okay? And that's the message I want you to hear this morning. But when we do life with other people in biblical community, we're told that a lot of positive things can happen. We can help each other succeed. We can help each other conquer. Let's show the next picture. I'm sorry, that was the picture of defeated. Does anybody... Excellent. Let's go back to the next one. I'm just not good today. Let's go back. How many people have ever felt like that? All alone, defeated. That's not what God wants for us. What God wants for us is the next photo. I love these pictures. These are people that just conquered Mount Everest together, not alone, but together. They conquered the mountain. Well, that's what it takes to conquer the mountain of our life, faith. It takes people doing life together. The big question I want to address today is this question. How can we help each other succeed? How can we help each other conquer? Let me ask that question again. How can we help each other succeed? How can we help each other conquer? And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at one key word of how we can do that for one another. Because really, God wants you to succeed. He wants you to conquer. He wants that for me. He wants that for all of us. He wants that for us to do that in community. How can we do that? And today the word we're going to look at is a word that a lot of people don't like to talk about. Let's just show the next word. We can do it by being with authenticity. Everybody say that together, authenticity. What does that mean? Authenticity, the next slide, means this. It means to be real. It means to be genuine. If we're going to help each other succeed, if we're going to help each other conquer, there's a point in time in our life that there's got to be people that we let in our lives where we're real with. There's a genuineness with that other person. So let me just ask you a few questions this morning. I want you to kind of think. Don't respond anyway, but just in your thought process, let me ask you a few questions. Is there anyone in your life that you can be real and genuine with? Be honest with yourself. Is there a person in your life that you can really share how it's really going? Is there a person where the conversation, do you have a person in your life where the conversation reaches beyond the weather, beyond sports, beyond work, beyond children, beyond politics? Do you have anybody like that in your life that you're doing this faith walk with? Okay? And if you're here today and you're saying, nah, not really, I want to let you know, please do not beat yourself up. Because the reality is most people, don't have somebody that they can really talk to, be real, be authentic with, okay? They don't have that person they can be genuine with, especially if you're a guy and you're over 40 years old. I would probably bet most guys over 40 don't have somebody in their life where they can really be real, authentic, somebody they can really share and be genuine with. Why? Because our culture teaches us this. It doesn't say it verbally, but it sends messages that, men, you got to be tough. You got to be durable. You can't really have anybody in your life that you share with, because if you share things, that's admitting you're what? Weak. It's admitting that you might really, believe it or not, you might really have some issues. You might really have some problems, okay? So if you're a man just like me, over 40, just like myself, a lot of us don't have that. A lot of us don't have that, okay? But I want to let you know, if we're going to do biblical community together, we need to learn this art of being authentic with one another. We got to learn how to be real with one another. We need to learn how to be genuine with one another, okay? And I want to suggest that there's a couple areas in our life that we're going to have to really try to dig into and be real with one another. In those two areas we're going to talk about this morning, number one, we're going to talk about we need to be real about sin. And number two, we need to be real about our burdens. We're going to touch on the most difficult one so we can have a little more fun at the end, okay? So the first one we're going to talk about is sin. Sin. Is there anybody in your life that you can really be open about with your sin, okay? You say, well, what is sin? There's a lot of different definitions of sin. My favorite definition of sin comes right from the Bible, James chapter 4, verse 17. James, the brother of Jesus, says this, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. If I know there's something I should do, I know it, I have it in my conscience, the Holy Spirit convicts me, the Word of God shows me there's certain ways, certain things I should be doing, and I don't do those things, it's sin. If the Bible calls me to love even my enemies and I don't love my enemies, I want to do other things with my enemies, that's sin, okay? Also, the opposite is true also. There's things that we know we should not do, and if we were to do those things, it would be sin. I know it's not good for me to be angry. There's times I get angry. Anyone else in that boat get angry? That's sin, okay? So the sin is the issue. And I think a lot of people say, well, really, Mike, what's the big deal with sin? Doesn't everyone do it? Well, the truth is everyone does it. I mean, let's just be honest. We're in church. We can't lie in church. Everyone sins. Okay? What's the problem with sin? Here's the problem with sin. Is God's intention for your life is for you to be in community with Him. God wants you to be in fellowship with Him. He loves you. He created you. He desires to do life together with you. And here's the thing, when we sin, what that does is that hinders that fellowship, that hinders that community. So here's the thing, the very thing that we need the most we lose out on because of sin. And the enemy doesn't tell you that. The enemy tells you, well, you're missing out on a lot of fun, things that feel good. But God's saying, no, I created you and I love you so much. I really want to do life with you. I really care for you a lot. I really want to fill you up like nothing else in this world could fill you up. But the enemy doesn't tell us that sin separates us from a holy and just and righteous and beautiful God. So what we want to do is we don't want to live in those patterns of sin. What we need to do, there's two things we need to do about our sin. There's two things, you might want to write these down. Two things that you should do with your sin. And I want to let you know today my thoughts are really directed towards believers. People who have said, yes, you know, I have a desire to follow Jesus. I've turned my life over to Jesus as my Savior, Lord. These thoughts are really directed towards you, okay? Two things we need to do about sin. Number one, when we have sin in our life, we should confess our sins to who? Everybody say it, to God, okay? Confess our sins to God. If I have sin in my life, I got angry this week, I slandered somebody with my speech this week, if I did that, my first step is I need to go before God and bring correction. First thing I need to do is I need to confess my sin to Him. That word confess means I need to admit. I need to acknowledge. God, I come to you today. I admit I did that, Lord, and that sin that breaks fellowship with you. I acknowledge that. I admit it to you. Because here's the verse that we bank on many times, 1 John 1:9. It says, if we do what? Everybody say, confess. If we admit, we acknowledge, we confess our sins to who? To God. He's what? He's faithful. He's just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. I can't tell you how thousands of times I've done that in my life. Thousands of times. Almost, I hate to admit this to you, almost daily. God, I had a bad attitude today. I didn't treat somebody the way I should have treated them today. God, I confess that. I bring that to you, Lord God. Would you forgive me of just me being sinful today? Lord, I confess that. I did what I know was I shouldn't have done. Okay? And here's the promise that God is faithful to forgive us. Who does the forgiving? Everybody say God. Okay. Let me speak directly to you. There's a lot of people in this room that come from various denominations and upbringings. And there's a lot of people who have different views about confession and who we confess to. Do we go to a certain person? Do we go to a priest? Do we do this? Do we do that? How does that all work out? I want to let you know my take on the scripture is this. When it's time to confess our sins, we come to God. Has everybody got me? Because only through the precious blood of Jesus that was poured out on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. Only through the blood of Jesus is there forgiveness. No one else has the power to forgive except for Jesus Christ. So we got that this morning. I want to just make sure we all understand. We're all on the same page. The power to forgive is through God. That's why we run to Him. So the first step with our sin is we come to God, we confess it. Second step is this. We confess our sins to each other. You say, well, you just told me, Mike, that only God can forgive sin. Then why in the world do I need to go to another person? Okay? Because look what it says in James 5:16. Show the verse, please. It says in James 5:16, confess your sins. Everybody say this together. To each other. To each other. And pray for each other. So that you may be healed. We're not going to talk about that. That's a whole different sermon, what that all means. But it says, confess your sins to who? Everybody say it, to each other. Why in the world do we need to confess our sins to each other if God has already forgiven us? I think there's two reasons that I want to bring up to you today that are very clear. Number one, if I have sinned against a specific individual, and I know I have sinned against that person, my first step is I go to God. My second step is I need to go to that person. Okay? Look at the words of William Barclay. He's an old Bible scholar. He says this, in a very real sense, it's easier to confess sins to God than it is to other people. How many people know that's true? Man, if I rake you over the coals this week and I slander you, it's so easy for me to say, God, please forgive me. You know what? It's really hard to do. It's really hard to go up to somebody face to face and say, you know what? You don't know this, but I lied about you this week. I slandered your name to make you look bad this week. How many people know that's hard? Does anybody think that's hard? Except for me, about two of us. All the rest of you guys are monsters, okay? He says, in a very real sense, it's easier to confess sin to God than it is to confess sin to man. And yet in sin, there are two barriers to be removed. The barrier it sets between us and God and the barrier it sets between us and our fellow men. In both these barriers are to be removed. Both kinds of confession must be made. So if I sin against Nick, I need to go to God and ask for forgiveness. Then I need to go to Nick. I don't like it. I like going just to God, but I hate going to Nick. Because Nick might look at me differently. That's what you call growing up as a Christian. We got to become mature. I want to let you know I'm preaching right now out of a lot of weakness. I want to let you know that I have a hard time exercising when I'm preaching, but I need, as well as you, we need to exercise coming to God and coming to people. Does anybody want to sign up with me? It's hard to do, amen? Hard to do. So that's the first reason why we need to confess our sins to another person. If you have offended somebody, you need to go to them. Second reason why you may need to confess your sin to somebody else is because there's times in our lives where we have struggle with a certain sin. Everyone, I think, has a struggle with what I would call a hidden sin. It's that thing that everybody else looks at you and they say, wow, that person really has their act together, man, on the outside. Man, they look good. It's just like they're living a simple life. Everything's great. But there's very few. But I think every one of us has maybe something in our closet that no one knows about. It's called a secret sin. And what happens is sin loves to dwell where? In darkness. It likes to stay in dark places. It likes to stay where nobody knows about it. And what James is saying here, we need to confess our sins, is when you know there's an area of struggle, you need to find some loving support, okay? And you need to confess that sin to those people who will provide not judgment, not condemnation, but there's a time where you got to go to that person and you got to eat some humble pie and say, you know what, I need help. I need help. And I need to bring this out into the light. Because I believe one of the very first steps to getting victory over areas of struggle and sin in your life is to quit hiding that thing and bring it out into the light. Bring it to somebody else's attention, because then that thing that was in the dark has now been brought into the light. And I don't suggest that you do that right now in front of everybody. I don't suggest, there's probably a lot of people you can't do that with. But in Christian community, there needs to be that one person, two people, three people that you can be honest with. And you say, you know what? I really struggle with lust. I really struggle with overspending. And we need to bring those things. What the enemy loves is for us just to hide. How many people other than me are good hiders? We love to hide. But if we're going to get victory, James is saying, hey, expose those things to special people that you can trust. Not people who are going to go and gossip and tell everybody, do you know what's wrong with Mike? He is a weird, twisted individual. No, these are going to be people that you can trust. These are people that love you. These are people that are going to pray for you. These are people who are going to be there. They're going to be accountable for you. They're going to give you strength. They're going to help you on the journey. There was a guy years ago, his name was Bob Glass. I want to show you the next quote. The next quote says this: you're only as sick as the secrets that you keep. You're only as sick as the secrets that you keep. The moment we reach into the darkness and we stop hiding our issues and pull them into the light and expose them to others, that's when the healing begins. That's why I so admire the young man that spoke at the men's ministry last month. 22 years old, got up in front of everybody and told all of us some of his issues. And we could look at him and say, how can you do that? But you know what? I look at him and say, he's the freest individual in the room because he's exposing those things. And I don't suggest we do that all. This is not the venue. Let's line up. We'll grab the microphone. Everybody go, tell your secrets. We do that in community. We do that with that person that we choose to do life together with. So if we're going to be authentic, let's be real that there's sin in our life that's holding us back. God wants you to be free. God wants you to be free. Amen? And some of the time, things that's keeping us from being free is these sins in our life, and we got to deal with them so that we can walk in freedom. Now, the second area, and I'll be much quicker on this one, that we need to be real with is when we have a burden. A burden. What is a burden? I'm defining a burden as is something that you carry. It's a load. It's a responsibility. It's something that is oppressive. It's something that's weary. It just worries you. It keeps you up at night. It keeps you from being able to focus. You're carrying this thing. It could be about work. It could be about your relationship with your spouse, your kids. It could be with some thing in your life. Okay? What we need to do is we need to learn how to carry. We need to do something with that burden. Okay? Has anyone ever experienced a burden before? If you have kids, you probably had a burden. If you've been married, you probably have a burden. Okay? Forget that. I didn't mean it like that. But here's the thing. People come up to each other in church. This is how church works. How's it going today? What's everybody's response? Good, great. You're lying. It's not going good. It's not going great. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing. My wife and I are fighting every night, but I'm doing good. I just stole money from work, but you know what? I am doing good. How are you doing? Good. And see, what happens when you say that is you can continue to carry the burden alone. And that's not the way it's supposed to be in biblical community. In biblical community, we're supposed to help each other. There's a great verse I want us to look at real quick. We've looked at it a couple other times. Galatians 6:2. Let's everybody read this verse together. Bear one another's burdens. Let's everybody say that together one more time. Bear one another's burdens. What does that word bear mean? Let's go to the next slide. The Greek word is that. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. That's a Greek word for bear, but it means to sustain. It means to bear. It means to hold up against the thing. Okay? So that may not mean anything to you, so let's get a visual picture. How many people are going to plant a garden this spring? A couple of you. Say you were going to plant a garden and you were to put tomatoes in your garden, and they start out real small, but throughout the year they get plenty of sunshine, they get plenty of rain, and they begin to grow and produce tomatoes. What happens a lot of times is those tomatoes become a burden for the plant. And what happens is the plant bends over and the tomatoes sit in the dirt. How many people know that's a burden to the plant, those tomatoes? And if you don't do something about it, what happens? The tomatoes what? They rot. They rot out. So what an experienced gardener will do, an experienced gardener will go to the garage and they'll look for a stake, they'll look for a hammer, they'll look for a string, a piece of rope, whatever, and they'll go out into the garden and they'll take that stake and they'll drive it into the ground as close to that tomato plant as possible. And then they'll get the string and tie the string around the stake and they'll tie it around the tomato plant. So what? The stake becomes the strength for the tomato plant. It's bearing the burden. Okay? So when we do life together, when we do life together, we're not just to put up with one another. Amen? We are to stake ourselves to one another. In other words, we're to come along other people, weaker brothers and sisters who are going through some real life stuff, and we're to send the message to them that if you're not going to fall, you're not going to be broken, because I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to go on this journey. My strength will now become your strength. Go ahead and lean on me. As long as I stand, you're going to stand also. And that's a wonderful picture of what biblical community looks like. We're to be real. You got a burden? Find a friend. Call a friend. Get somebody you know that's going to tie themselves around you and going to be supportive. They're going to be there for you so you don't have to fall, but you can stand because their strength becomes your strength. One of the most beautiful real pictures of this happened years ago. And I told this story before. Years ago, baseball was only for white baseball players. And then Jackie Robinson came on the scene, okay? And Jackie Robinson was what? He was the first African-American baseball player to play in the major leagues. And while he was trying to break this Keller barrier, he would go from stadium to stadium, and people didn't like it. They thought baseball was a white man's game. And then they would see Jackie Robinson. He would go into these stadiums and people would boo and they would hiss. And one day, the story's told that he was playing a home game right there in Brooklyn, playing, I believe it was second base, and he committed an error. He bobbled the ball. And all the fans in the stadium, they loved it. Isn't that amazing how people love when other people fail? Isn't that sad? And they begin to boo and they begin to hiss. And the story's told that he stood there at second base and he was humiliated as all of the fans were cheering. And then out of nowhere came the shortstop, whose name is Pee Wee Reese. And he came over and he stood next to him and he put his arm around Jackie and he faced the crowd. Isn't that great? It's a real story. And when he came over and he put his arm around Jackie Robinson, the story is the crowd quit yelling and hissing and criticizing, and the stadium became quiet. Jackie Robinson years later said that the arm of Pee Wee Reese around his shoulders was the one thing that saved his career. That's a picture of biblical community. That's the way it should look like with you and the people that you're going through life together with in community. That's how you should be responding to certain people, and people are responding to you. We're in this together. Are you real? Are you authentic? Or are you always trying to hide sins and burdens? Are you getting tired of that yet? Are you getting worn out of that yet? You need other people. Guys over 40, we need other people. Even though our dad may have said, you don't need anybody, or our culture told us we don't need anybody, we do. And believers need one another. So let me ask you this question as we conclude this series. The question is, do you have somebody that you can lean on? College students, do you have somebody you can lean on? Folks over here on my left, do you have somebody you can lean on? That when the troubles come, when the things that are unpredicted, unforecasted come your way, are you trying to just juggle all these plates, trying to figure it out? Or do you have other people in your life that you can really, really engage with? Do you have somebody you can lean on? Years ago, a song was written. I'm going to read some of the lyrics. Just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. Everybody together. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'll understand. Everybody together. We all need somebody to lean on. I love the next, I don't even know what it is, just the next lines, I guess. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you. Everybody, carry on. For it won't be long till I'm going to need somebody to lean on. A lot of people have no leaning friends. In biblical community, we lean on each other. We lean on each other. So as we close this series this morning, thank you for being here. I'm not just trying to preach sermons that just get through another week. I really want to know, do you have somebody that you can lean on? There's too many Christians that are getting their lunch eaten by the enemy because they're trying to do it all alone. Lean on somebody. Get a mentor. Get a friend. Get somebody that you're connecting with. Get somebody you can get real with. Get somebody that you can talk to more than about sports and weather and your job. But get somebody you can talk about the real things of life with. And let's get victory in the house. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord, help us to break the mindset that we can do all these things in life alone. But Lord, help us to walk in humility and realize that your way works all the time. And your way works that we don't live in isolation, but your way works that we engage other people in our journey together. And Lord, I really believe the enemy would just love for us just to be solo acts. But God, you're a God of community, that you want us to be in this together, that we rejoice together. When somebody else does well, great, that's awesome. But when they weep, we're there to weep with them. When they have a burden, they don't have to carry that thing alone to the point of breakdown, discouragement, isolation. But when we're carrying a burden, we can go to somebody else and say, hey, can you help me? Can you help me with my marriage? Can you help me with my kids? Can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? Can you help me? And Lord, I just ask God for your help. But Lord, we also need the help of somebody that has flesh and blood, skin. Somebody that's going to talk back and give us just be there with us. So Lord, help us, I pray. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and they can conquer. God didn't create you to be defeated, to be attacked. He wants you to be a conqueror.